Hi there, I'm Rosie, and welcome to another episode of What Does Your Family Look Like? In this episode, Tanya tells us how she went about finding her own therapist, how she decided to practice acceptance and commitment therapy with her clients, and why happiness is not a goal. Let's listen in.
You know, my whole career life has been fascinating, which is another thing I feel like I bring as a therapist, because I'm really supportive of people changing careers and following their passions and their values.
Right.
So when I switched, once I got my PhD, I did not feel comfortable being a therapist yet. I think some of it was that I mostly did children and families. And I'm not convinced that with my personality, I was called to do it with children. But the other thing was, I just didn't feel like I was educated enough. And maybe I didn't really believe in the models we were taught. So we were not taught ACT, which is acceptance and commitment therapy, at all in school. I'd never heard of it. So I, because of my science and math background, I ended up doing research full time, but applied research, which is actually quite cool. And then I slowly transitioned into my own practice. But the way I decided to get into psychotherapy, you know, I had the degree for it, I just wasn't
right.
doing it, was that I had my own little midlife crisis, mm-hmm. which was actually all about feeling like I spent my life being a perfectionist just to cope with my own family, dysfunction, mm-hmm. Family of origin dysfunction. And so I went to therapy, and I specifically looked for someone who was not psychodynamic. Like, I didn't really want to talk about my mom then, mm-hmm. even though I do think, you know, all of that stuff plays a role. I think about that very differently now than I did then. But I did not want to do that. I didn't want that model. And I didn't want to do strict cognitive behavioral therapy, even though ACT actually is a form of cognitive behavioral therapy. Back then, mostly when people were doing CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, they were doing this traditional form where you try to change your thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been doing that on myself because mm-hmm. I had learned it in school, and I actually felt like I was getting worse. And there's actually data to show that if you try to change your thoughts and feelings, just like I just described,
right.
it will get worse, not better. You will start to ruminate and obsess, and it's not pretty.
Okay.
And I can attest to how not pretty that is.
Okay.
So I found a therapist through a friend's recommendation. She called this therapist Crunchy Granola. And I thought, oh, Crunchy Granola, that's not psychodynamic. And it's not CBT. Perfect. I had no idea what this woman was going to do. And over time, this woman is working with me. And I, you know, as I work with her, I start to think, like, I want to be you in my profession.
Right.
Like, and I actually can be you. Like, I have the degree.
Right.
I think I want to do this as an adult, you know, just with adults. And I finally, at some point, kind of admitted it to her. It was really scary to admit it because it meant I know my personality. So you know this about me. If I believe in something and I say I'm going to commit to it, I commit to it.
That's right.
I'm lucky. That's just an easy thing for me. Not for everybody, but I'm blessed with that. And so I knew once I said it out loud, that was going to be it. And so I was kind of afraid to say anything for a long time. And I finally, she actually said to me, you know, I just keep thinking to myself, why are you not in the helping side of your profession and in the research side instead? And that was it. Once she asked me, I couldn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her the truth and that I was actually thinking about switching. And I asked her, I said, the thing is, I told her why, like I just what I told you guys, why
right.
I didn't do, you know, what I, why I didn't do research,
right.
you know, why I did research instead of clinical work.
Right.
And so I said to her, but what you're doing with me is what's making me think like I could do this. Like, I could do what you're doing, but what is this? Like, is there a name for it?
Right.
And that's when she told me about ACT. And I started reading a book. I literally ended up in tears reading this book, no lie. It just resonated with me so deeply as a way to work with clients that I was just hooked. And I started going to trainings. And so actually, when I started my practice, I started all ACT. I've never done anything else.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I didn't realize
it's a
that.
Long answer to a short question.
No,
isn't
it's
it?
Great. It's great. There's something else I want to ask
you.
No,
keep going.
We always hear that happiness.
Mm.
You know, I just want. We all say it. I just want them to be happy. I want my kids to be happy. And we know that happiness really isn't a goal.
Although, yeah,
right.
Well, you know that. I think a lot of people still believe that it is, and I think that's. There's actually a book by an ACT therapist called The Happiness Trap. That's the name of the book. So I love the fact that you brought that up. And the problem with happiness is it's like every other emotion. It's an emotion. It's not a state. And you can't stay in that state,
mm-hmm.
right? It comes and goes, just like anger and frustration and anxiety and sadness. It comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you live a life full of values and meaning and commitment to those things, at times you're going to be happy and at times you're going to be sad. At times you're going to be frustrated, angry, mm-hmm. joyful, excited, surprised. And so if you're not willing right, to go through all of these different emotions all the time, mm-hmm. right? If all you're going for is happiness, you're going to be fighting with yourself all the time. And you might start limiting yourself. You might say, well, if I can't guarantee this thing is going to make me happy, then I'm not willing to risk it. Right. But what if that's what you're meant to do?
Right.
I mean, that's what happened to me when I switched careers. I mean, I literally felt like I was jumping off a cliff, right? I think I'd taken like 6 psychology courses. I did start doing research for a professor at UMBC because I figured there's no way I would get in to a PhD program without doing research. And thank God I did, because I ended up at UMBC with that professor as my advisor. It was the best thing I ever did. Oh, he was amazing. We got really close and I finished my degree really fast. But the bottom line is, like, I couldn't, if I wasn't willing to take a risk mm-hmm. and dive into something that I could just feel in my soul that I valued, that's where values come from. They're not, it's not a head trip. Mm-hmm. How you figure out to live into your values, the commitments you make, that's very heady. But knowing kind of where you should be headed and what's important to you and what matters and what's going to light you up in life and give you meaning, mm-hmm. that's a very, like, kind of a soul journey, a heart right. journey, right? Right? Mm-hmm. And there is no guarantee that any of that's going to work out, because it's not a plan. It's a direction that you go in. And if you're not willing to move into uncertainty and be uncomfortable with that, then you got to have a really small life. And so I'll joke with clients sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not willing to get hurt by a friend, well, better not have any friends. Right. If you're not willing to have a breakup with a guy you date or a woman you date, like, better shut that one down. You know, if you're not right. willing to be unsuccessful in your career, or maybe not be able to get that degree you tried to get because it was harder than you thought or something happened to you along the way. Like, you can imagine, right. if you can't guarantee happiness, you have to live like, I don't even know. What do you sit in the corner of your room all day?
I know.
What do you do?
What do you do?
So I try to help clients think less about, I try to help them ride the waves of emotion because okay. they're hard and painful, and be mm-hmm. very self-compassionate and self-soothing about it, and really let themselves feel it and recognize that it's normal based on their values. And then I try to help them use their values to build meaning in their life. And so the goal in your life is meaning, mm-hmm. fullness and meaning mm-hmm. and purpose and satisfaction. And, you know, it's not a feeling, because right. feelings are fleeting.
Right. That is so great. Yeah. And all that does lead to many happy moments.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Can you imagine, again, if you had a very limited life and all the things that really mattered to you, you weren't willing to engage in because they were risky, and they might upset you when they don't work out, then you also don't have the ability to be happy.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, Brené Brown says this, and lots of people say it. The more you try to blunt the negative, the more you blunt the positive. You cannot have one without the other.
Right.
If you are not willing to feel uncomfortable, you can't have the joyful moments either.
It's true. Yeah. It's a risk, all of life.
It is. Every day, every moment. Yeah.
You wake up,
it's what we sign up for, even if you don't think that you do.
Yeah.
But if you know you're signing up for it with the entire universe, if you know that every human being you come into contact with has signed up for it with you, there is something so profound about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I try to help people, you know, recognize that. Like, you think everybody around you is just happy. They're fine. They look fine. They're doing great. They're not upset. You know, they post this crap on Facebook and Instagram. Oh, life is good. Right. But it's not true. We all sign up for the same thing together. We're all in this together. And the more you share, I also invite clients to do this. And when my clients actually follow through on this, it's the transformation in them is just fantastic. If you're willing to share your own struggles, within a moment, that person will, any person who is willing to have a little bit of vulnerability, but if you have it first and you're willing to say you're struggling, it's amazing how many people will say to you, oh my gosh, me too. And then all of a sudden you realize you're not alone,
yeah.
but you have to be willing. And that's painful and scary because you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Do we not love her? Your energy. I just love your energy. It's great.
Thank you.
I started asking everybody at the end a question. And the question is, what advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, I love that question. I like it even, well, I'll also say the future person,
please.
Too, is so fantastic,
please.
Right?
Please, you can expound.
Or if you look back, what do you want to have said to your
Yeah.
current person is really the one we use. We'll say, like, what would your future self say to your current self right now? Like, if you imagine what you want, like, what would it say you need to do now?
You can answer
which
this
is
question
the same thing, actually. It's actually
any way
the,
you
it's
want.
Actually the same thing. Yeah. So, God, and I could give you so many answers. This
oh,
is the kind of philosophical
I'm
stuff
so
I do
interested
all the time,
what
as you can imagine.
Say.
This is what I do for a living, and I'm kind of a soul searcher, if you can tell. And I go to church, and so anyway, this is my shtick. So, one of the big things is there is nothing in your life that doesn't help you grow, doesn't have the opportunity that you can't use to help you grow, right? So, or let me say it in the positive, right? Everything that happens, I don't mean it from a Pollyanna point of view. When terrible things happen to people, you don't say to them, oh, something good will come of it. That's a terrible thing to say to somebody. That is not helpful, mm-hmm. right? And the recognition, the older I get, the more I can look back at these things that happened in my life and recognize that they were huge growth opportunities. Some of them were kind of more positive, like career change. But, you know, back when I quit, when I switched professions, when I went from engineering to psychology, I spent a long time saying that was a waste of my time. And I just am so amused by that now, because there is no way. I mean, it's so funny how you started with that. I think that was one of your first questions, right? Like, what do I take from the engineering world and the psychology world? Mm-hmm. And one of the things I didn't talk about is that it also makes me, I think, a fantastic business person, mm-hmm. which I think a lot of therapists are afraid to say, that they're in business for themselves and they're mm-hmm. trying to make a living and have a successful business, because it's almost like they feel like if that's the case, then they don't care about their clients. They think of their clients as a money-making machine. And I just don't believe that's true. And I think one of the things I realize is I have these two parts of my brain that, you know, I've taken those funny little tests online, you know, it says like, how are you left-brained or right-brained? And I turn out really close to 50-50, which actually does not surprise me. Mm-hmm. I think that's how I could make that switch from psych to engineering. Mm-hmm. You know, they're both analytical, but, you know, one, you're more gray in the gray area. The other one's very black and white, engineering. So anyway, I absolutely have used all of my engineering skills, right? And I think I was where I needed to be. That's the other thing that's so interesting. It's like I'll say to my young clients all the time, they want to rush it along and they always feel like they're behind, right, mm-hmm. in terms of career. And I get right. that, right? So I empathize. Like, I get it. They're comparing themselves to everybody else. They look at their parents. They somehow think their parents didn't struggle, which is right. always amusing to me. Just had a conversation with a client about that the other day. And I just, you know, we giggle a lot. We try to giggle a lot and make light of the fact that our brains make these assumptions because it's funny. We're right. all like this and it's amusing. So, you know, the thing is that, you know, I feel like I was where I was supposed to be. Literally I can now look back and say every step of the way I was where I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I was not ready to do therapy when I got my PhD. Research is exactly what I should have been doing. Mm-hmm. And it was applied research. And I had this fabulous opportunity with this married couple doing this really cool stuff. And I had uber flexibility with young children. I mean, mm-hmm. I was where I was supposed to be every moment of the way. And mm-hmm. so to kind of recognize, when you're going through hard stuff, yes, allow yourself to feel all those deep, tough emotions and be self-compassionate and connect with yourself and take really good care of yourself and see if you can figure out, like, what is in this for me that can help me grow? Because I didn't get to choose it. It might feel sucky and terrible and awful, you know, mm-hmm. like I had a breakup of an engagement, which was huge. I was supposed to marry a guy and I didn't. And I was depressed for a year. Then my dad died young and I had a sister who was addicted and all sorts of things. And along the way, they feel just terrible and awful. And that's normal. And all of those experiences have shaped me into who I am. Mm-hmm. I have grown from all of them, but you can only grow if you're open and you're aware. You really have to be open and aware and figure out kind of, you know, what's the work here? Is this work in self-compassion? Is this work in shifting perspective? I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. know what it is. Mm-hmm. Is it work in understanding other people in a way that maybe I didn't before and having right. compassion for others? I don't know. What is it to be? What do I use from this? Because you might as well. You're having this experience that seems all terrible. Why not use it in a positive way if you can?
Yeah.
So that's what I would say to my younger self.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I am yeah. so lucky oh. to know you and call you such a dear friend.
You know that I feel the same way.
You are
that
awesome.
You are one of my soul friends, and you are such a nurturing and compassionate person. And I did not grow up with a lot of nurturing and compassion. Mm-hmm. And so I clearly seek out. I mean, I can look at all my really close girlfriends, and that's who you are for me in my life. And so that's huge.
Well, thank you.
And I know you know
oh,
that because
thank you.
It just
You yeah. have helped me. You have helped me believe in me.
Mm.
And I'm glad. I thank you for that.
I'm glad.
It's a good place to end.
It sure is.
Thank you so much You're for welcome. Doing this.
This has been fantastic.
This has been so much fun.
Yeah.
Yay. Is her energy so positive and contagious? You can see why she is a dear friend. I've had the benefit of hanging out with her for hours, especially during COVID, and having the most interesting exchange of ideas. I always come away learning something new, and I hope you have too. Join us next time when Tanya shares with us how she helps her clients develop strategies for their ADHD symptoms. Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe and follow us on all social media at WDYFLL, the podcast. Mm-hmm.